And welcome to the latest Defend the Fort podcast. Gerard Welbrock, pleased to have former Fort Hays State All-American and former Fort Hays State women's basketball coach Annette Wiles with us in our latest installment of the Defend the Fort podcast. It'll be fun to get perspective as a player and a former coach. But first off, Annette, so glad to have you part of the podcast today.
Well, thank you, and obviously it's always great to hear your radio voice.
Well, I appreciate that. I like to go back to where it started. I mean, you went to Sylvan Grove High School, won a program, obviously a small school, had great success, and then you end up being an NAIA All-American at Fort Hays State. But just take us through that process of playing high school ball and the recruiting process with Fort Hays State and how you ended up being a Tiger.
Well, you know, as a young kid growing up in a small town in Hunter, Kansas, which, you know, was a suburb of Sylvan Grove, growing up in Hunter, it was just the thing to do was to play sports. And I was fortunate to have two neighborhood friends that Scott and Damian wanted to play every sport under the sun. But basketball was kind of the sport that all three of us loved to play. So I think I give a lot of credit over my lifetime of the fact that I was able to play with two neighborhood boys that challenged me. They were older and I had to hold my own. So I think they helped toughen me up to become a player that could be, you know, more aggressive than maybe most. Got into junior high and got a taste of winning a junior high championship. And I loved that feeling of we were number one. And it was a motivation, even entering into high school, as our high school coach, Coach Mike Weatherman, longtime football coach, also then became the girls' basketball coach at Sylvan Grove. And within a year, we were on our way to our first round of a state tournament. And again, got that taste of we're at the state tournament. Now we've made it to the state tournament. And then the following year, we were 26-0, and Spearville was 26-0, and we were headed off to the state championship game at Gross Memorial Coliseum. And the joy of knowing that you were chasing a championship and knowing that you had a chance to become eventually a state champion was such an honor. And the fact that it was happening in Gross Memorial, I had already made the commitment to John Klein and Fort Hays State earlier that year in January that I was coming to Fort Hays. So I felt like I was playing in front of what would be future fans of my collegiate career. And unfortunately, we didn't win that state championship game. But to know that you felt the thrill and the excitement of being in that environment, even as a high schooler running out of the locker room onto the court at Gross Memorial, it gave me goosebumps as it did throughout my entire playing career as a player and even the same as being a head coach at Fort Hays. That feeling never left me for what it meant to walk out onto that court. And my opportunity to come to Fort Hays was really built around John Klein and Tom Burkhart. He was the assistant and John Klein was the head coach. They kept coming to basketball games. They sat down at my dining room table and had a meal with my family. And Coach Klein just kept talking about, we're going to make something special happen at Fort Hays. And that led me to eventually becoming a Fort Hays State Tiger.
And Coach Klein obviously left his legacy, and it was a process. But you look, I mean, even, you know, while you were at Fort Hays State, and obviously you had a big hand in that because of playing. But, you know, from your freshman year to your sophomore, and then by the time you finally win that national championship as your senior year, I mean, it was a gradual process, but you could feel it every year. You guys were getting better. You kind of tasted it a little bit. I think your junior year, you got close and didn't get out of the districts to get to the national tournament, but you could kind of feel every year Coach Klein was building something special.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he brought in myself and Julie Kazar, Christy Leeper. Julie Kazar was from Lyons, Kansas, and Christy Leeper from Protection. We were all three kids from relatively small communities, and you know, he kept talking about you were going to be the heart and soul and you were going to be the nucleus of this team. And even as our freshman year ended, we were a team that was just barely 500. And Coach Klein ended up getting Coach of the Year on the heels of just having that big of an improvement from what was his first year, the year before we were there, and then the year we came. And so he kept saying over and over, you know, you're a nucleus. Christy Leeper was a point guard and Julie Kazar was the defensive specialist. And I was the big post player closest to the basket that could be able to put points on the board and try to defend the rim. And then he continued to keep placing other players around us. Obviously one of those players becoming my sister, Deanne Wiles, which is now Deanne Thamert. And you start thinking about players like Leanne Bryant and many, many others that filled out that squad, Patrice Faulkner. We started really gelling and creating a nucleus in our sophomore year. We started to feel that we were turning a corner, being, I believe we were 5 or 6 games above 500. And everybody was like, you guys are on a roll. And then our junior year came. And as you said, we felt like we were in that moment. But Emporia took us out of that championship opportunity to make the national tournament. And we just said we weren't going to let that happen again. And going through those battles of the Washburns, the Emporias, of course, at that point, we were in the CSIC and we were in the NAI, which was our last year of being in the NAI. And we just said we were going to make a run and never look back. And for our squad, wins at Washburn, a loss actually at Emporia, probably was one of the things that drove us to want to really never lose again. And strangely enough, after we lost at Emporia in the regular season, we went through then what was the District 10 and was able to get an opportunity to punch our ticket to go to Jackson, Tennessee.
We're visiting with Annette Wiles, 2-time Fort Hays State NAIA All-American, former head women's basketball coach at Fort Hays State, here on the Defend the Fort podcast. And you've kind of led right into that national championship season. We'll go ahead and talk about it. And you touched on that Emporia State loss. When did you guys feel that? Because you were successful the year before. You've seen this gradual growth. But when, during that senior season, did you guys feel, you know what? You know you're good, but this could be something special. We could be historical here. Was there a moment where you kind of felt that this might be the year we could win the whole thing?
I think it was in the locker room at Emporia. We had lost that ball game by 2 points. I had the ball in my hands. We had a specific set play that we ran, and Coach Klein called the same play 4 times in a row for me to have an opportunity to get us a lead. And unfortunately, in that disappointment of not scoring on any of those 4 possessions, I knew that I felt like I had let the team down and felt like I had just disappointed what could have been, you know, a really special year in us being, you know, undefeated. And that's really one of the things we were shooting for, was being an undefeated national champion. And that loss, really, I think we sat in that locker room for a long time. And the tears were plentiful. And I think the 3 of us as seniors and the rest of the team were like, we are good enough to win all of this and never lose again. And I think that's when we just walked out of that locker room, a different team that was driven to a different level. We went from worrying about, you know, gosh, are we going to lose a game, to now we're not going to lose anymore from here on. And it was almost like a second birth of our season. And from that moment on, once we got to Jackson, Tennessee, my parents, actually, we just had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about what a special time that was that we were able to go to Jackson, Tennessee. My mom and dad, obviously owning a small business in Hunter, they said, we won't be there for the first two rounds of games, so you're going to have to get to the third round before we're coming down. And we talked about the motivation of getting my parents to be able to come down to Jackson, Tennessee at the national tournament. And they loaded up, of course, my grandparents, and my brother got to skip school. And in the car they came, as most all of our parents came that weekend, what would have been the start of the third round of the national tournament. And knowing that we were successful, able to get to the semifinals, we knew that we had challenges in front of us as teams that had already won national championships, and then to ultimately end up in the championship game with Southwestern Oklahoma. They had been a five-time defending national championship team. They arrived in white limousines to drop their team off at the arena. And our school bus pulled up, and we were like, they're not winning another one. And, you know, I still think about all of the games I've played, all of the games I've coached. It was probably one of the most back and forth games I've ever been a part of in my life, where there was just never really more than a 1 or 2 or 3 point separation one way or the other. And we were fortunate to have Christy Leeper on the free throw line right at the end of the game. She was able to seal the game and move it to a 4 point game, which is ultimately where we want it. And, you know, I think through that journey, I think you had a real sisterhood, and we were really a family. We spent a lot of time with each other off the court. We spent a lot of time, even in the summertime, playing basketball with one another, just because we wanted to stay involved in the game and stay close to one another. But we were fortunate to eventually prevail as national champions. And I know Dr. Hammond was very thrilled and very excited, as the community of Hayes was. But it was his first national championship ring that he got to put on his finger as a president of Fort Hayes.
That was neat, and it's kind of funny how it goes full circle, and Fort Hayes and Suwa-Su kind of go back and forth now in the Division II championships and in tournaments that have met in the past. And one thing you just commented that kind of strikes me is chemistry, and you've been a part of it as a player. You obviously know all about it as a coach. You can have all the talent in the world, but that chemistry sometimes doesn't get enough credit, and how big of a role it is in success on the floor. And obviously, your group had it, and you can see it when you have get-togethers now. And I remember when the national championship team was inducted in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can feel there's a sisterhood there, and that team chemistry is so, so very important, and you guys were special enough to have that.
Yeah, you know, we talk about every individual as a part of that team was what helped make the magic happen for us to win a national championship. Even still to this day, Sandy Norman, she was our team manager, and Sandy Norman is still one of my closest best friends for, you know, more than 30 years. And even the players, to the manager, to the coaches, there was just that intense togetherness. And we just had each other's back, and we wanted to put our best effort forward, whether it was in practices or games. And we were really pulling and supporting one another throughout that entire journey. And it was just an incredibly special run as a player. And it was certainly a very special opportunity for all of us to hang a banner in the rafters of Gross Memorial, knowing that it would remain there forever. And you were starting to create something in women's basketball that really had never been done before. And you knew that you were kind of building a legacy that was going to continue and keep moving forward.
You mentioned the recruitment process with Coach Klein, and he seemed very, you know, very mild-mannered, very soft-spoken, but obviously when needed to be fiery, he could be. What was he like to play for?
You know, one of the things I think that always impressed us about Coach Klein, first of all, you know, he was a guy that would go out and run 25 miles a day, as a runner, and we would always be able to gauge his temperament on how many miles he ran that day. You know, if he was having a slow day, he might run 5 or 6 miles, but there were times we would always joke with him when he was really stressed out, he would go get a 25-mile run in. And we would always tease him that, you know, we kept him thin because we gave him plenty of stress. And he was always joking with us that, you know, he was just the bus driver. And he would tell us that all the time. He was like, you know, I just got to get the players to the gym. I'm just the bus driver. And we always knew, of course, he was more than that. And, you know, he was a father figure and a role model in so many ways. But you're exactly right. He was the right personality. I think if we would have had the overly intense or over pressuring coach, I don't think this group of players would have responded well to that. He had an incredibly gentle spirit and a genuine care for you as a player. And we just rallied around him. We wanted it for him just as much as he wanted it for us. When he was named the National Coach of the Year, that was a celebration for all of us equally as much as it was for Julie Cazar being named the Defensive Player of the Year, or myself to be fortunate to be named the MVP of the year. I think we just always found a spirit in him. And as they always say, you know, you take on that coach's spirit. He just never let us get distracted and worried about officiating calls. And he never let us lose our focus on concentrating on our effort. He was a big defensive guy. You know, back in the day when he was going to clinics and brought home the Dick Bennett defense, which was obviously legendary coach in Dick Bennett, that Coach Klein had knew from Wisconsin. And we started playing the Dick Bennett defense before the Dick Bennett defense was a popular form. And we just all bought in. And he was just a person that wanted to keep local area kids playing at Fort Hays. And it just strengthened not only our team, but it strengthened the university and strengthened Western Kansas.
That's kind of ironic because when Bill Morris won some men's titles in the mid-80s, he was good friends with Dick Bennett and kind of instilled those philosophies. And then here you come with Coach Klein, very similar, kind of proving that defense is pretty important and how that translated to your guys' team and helped you win a championship. You also mentioned playing with your sister when she got recruited and was a part of the team. Obviously had to be special playing with her in high school and then to do it at the collegiate level and then to have the success you guys have. I mean, obviously sisters have a great bond, but that had to be something extra special to be able to share that with her.
Yeah, you know, we still to this day talk often. We believe we're still the only national champion sisters in the state of Kansas. And, you know, we carry our pride great in terms of the fact that we were able to chase championships. She was fortunate to win a high school state championship in Gross Memorial and as well for us to be able to play on the same collegiate team. And I think during, you know, the journey of us playing together, obviously she was a different type of player than myself and in playing a three guard position. And I played obviously the five position as a post player. But at the same rate, I think we were both people very driven, and we always give a lot of credit to my Grandma Cheney. She was a huge influence in our life of wanting us to really give our best and do our best. She always encouraged us and pushed us along the academic trails of achieving success academically. And I think for Deanna and I, we just always were so grateful that our family could come watch both of us play at the same time as we were when we won the national championship. My parents still to this day talk about being parents in the stand, knowing that they were able to see their children together collectively win a national championship. And again, both of us going off into the coaching realms and both of us spending time, giving back to the game and giving back to the sport and giving back to young women as head coaches, as we have for over 25 years.
It's the Defend the Fort podcast. We're visiting with Fort Hays State two-time NAIA All-American, Annette Wiles, member of the 1991 NAIA National Championship team, part of the Fort Hays State University and the RMAC Hall of Fames, and the career points leader, second in career rebounding at Fort Hays State. And you kind of touched on it. You don't get those accolades without good teammates, good coaching. I mean, it is a family effort, but obviously someone still has to make the baskets, grab the rebounds. You had a great career, but I know you'll be the first one to say all those teammates and everybody who helped you along the way was just as bit of important in you achieving all those things as it was just you yourself.
Absolutely. I have always given, you know, all of the credit to God and family for just giving me the strength to be a college basketball player. But ultimately, what was able to propel me in the statistical categories was being able to surround yourself with great players. Obviously, Christy Leeper, as I said earlier, she was able to run that point guard position and quarterback the game, you know, from inbound plays to set plays to defense to whether we're pressing or not pressing. And she was really genuinely that coach on the floor for 4 years. She was, for the most part, a four-year starter as a point guard. Then you take Julie Kazar as a defensive specialist. She was a player that was always put on the best player on the floor. And that player might be averaging 20 a game, and she was going to hold them to two, and that was an 18-point swing. And we always used to talk about her points came from the points the other team didn't get to score. And then you start to sprinkle in the Deb Smiths, and you start to sprinkle in Patrice Faulkner. Certainly their three-point shooting ability was able to keep people from double-teaming me on the inside. And equally as well, having the opportunity to have people that could get me the ball and get me the ball in places that would produce easy scoring opportunities. So, you know, you're exactly right. Between the X's and O's and the strategy of it, but also the chemistry of the team and the players. And then you start talking about players coming off the bench that were able to come in. I often say I would have never been the player that I was without the efforts of Leanne Bryant. We played against each other every day in practice. She challenged me daily, and then she was also the player that never took the pressure off when she went into the game. So her and I always felt that each opponent we played against was having to play a two against one game in the strength of what we brought to the inside game at Fort Hays. But, you know, it was a team effort. And even as I said, as much as talking about the manager, Sandy Norman was a spiritual advisor in that locker room of telling us all to get our minds in the right space and here's your uniform and get out there and win a game. And I'm just fortunate and very, very blessed that I had the opportunity to be surrounded with so many people. And at times as awards would come my way, I felt incredibly humbled by it because it was almost getting too much attention on me individually because it just was not how we operated truly as a team because it was really an entire team effort.
We mentioned you being inducted into the Fort Hays State Hall of Fame, also the RMAC Hall of Fame. What was that experience like? I've been a part of these Hall of Fame ceremonies. Just, I think, one of the coolest events every year, the emotion for players to come back, coaches, whatever the case may be, and to relive those moments. And a lot of times their friends, family, and teammates come back. But to go into two of them, Fort Hays State, as well as a conference Hall of Fame, had to be pretty special.
Yeah, and the fun thing was is being able to do so, you know, as a head coach at Fort Hays at the time. And I think about all of the work that Stephanie Deckent, you know, she was the athletic administrative assistant and all of the work that she would put in for that event. And then when I got to put my list of names of people to invite to the Fort Hays Hall of Fame, as well as to the RMAC Hall of Fame, it was so surreal of where do I start, where do I stop, and how big is the room? Because I felt like I just wanted everybody that was there, even fans in the stands, people that had been cheering from the sidelines my entire career as a player. And, you know, you have to start thinking about the Patty Stolls and the Glenn Staubs and people that just were there at every game. Bob Huff, people that were just cheering you on every night as a player and continue to do so, you know, as a coach. And I think for me, those moments, as much as it was a joy for me, it was a humbling experience for me, but I think it was more than anything for me to see the joy and pleasure that it brought to my parents, to my grandparents, you know, to my friends and to my family.
Read that you always thought you would spend your career at a high school and as a high school coach, but when you got on the staff after graduation at Fort Hays State, that kind of changed. You got higher aspirations. Just tell us about that a little bit.
Well, you know, we always used to say that Coach Klein always saw more in us than we saw in ourselves. And that was always the case with him. Even as a player, sometimes when I doubted my abilities to play, he would always encourage me that I really was a 20-point, 14-rebound-a-game player. And that belief propelled me to become that. And the same came true when I graduated with my undergraduate degree, my K through 12 health and PE teaching degree from Fort Hays. Coach Klein asked me to stay on to the staff as the graduate assistant and pursue my master's degree in athletic administration. And I told him, I said, well, I really don't know a lot about a master's degree because I've never known anyone to have one. And he said, well, you have the capabilities of going on to be a college coach and college administrator, and I want you to stay on and help with the staff. At that time, we were transitioning from the NAI to NCAA Division II, and we needed to add a women's sport. So they also assigned the duties of being the head tennis coach, the first head tennis coach of NCAA Division II at Fort Hays was myself as a graduate assistant.
I've forgotten about that.
I think back on those years of I didn't bring a lot of knowledge of the sport, but I certainly helped my team be in great condition to go out and play tennis.
I'm sure they were grateful for that.
We always talked about that. I always made sure that they were where they needed to be, and I always joked with them, I'm just the bus driver. So I was taught well by Coach Klein that, you know, you just train your team and you make sure you get them to the events and get them ready to play. But I did enjoy my 2 years, which provided me the opportunity to continue to keep coaching with my sister on the team over her next 2 years of her career. And then the opportunity came to become the head coach at Bethany College. And I went to Bethany and was fortunate to be able to recruit and be familiar with a lot of players around the state of Kansas, even a lot of players around Western Kansas that I was able to continue to recruit to Bethany and was able to have an opportunity for teams to be able to go to their first ever national tournament experiences. And we were fortunate to go to four of those national tournaments over the 7 year career as the Bethany head coach. And then the greatest opportunity came when Dr. Hammond called and invited me to come back and be the head coach at Fort Hays. And 8 years of coaching at Fort Hays, it was a joy to lead Fort Hays back to its first ever NCAA Division II national tournament, and then continued on at the University of Minnesota Duluth.
Obviously, coming back to Fort Hays had to be special, but I'm sure you come back to an alma mater. There's challenges that go along with that. And how did you handle that? And talk us through that process a little bit.
Well, I think there are things that are always familiar, but then there's also the part of, you know, are you really that head coach? Because there are still those people. There's still professors walking the hallways. There's still other coaches that were coaching at Fort Hays that knew me when I was, you know, an undergraduate student. And so then it felt like a proving ground over a period of time of, you know, I have grown, I have gone off and proven the ability to be a head coach and to be successful. And again, when you have tremendous support and you have tremendous backing, obviously as Tom Spicer provided that as he wanted success in the women's sports and certainly in the sport of women's basketball, we were able to keep chasing those 20 win seasons as we were fortunate to have those. And again, it was a thrill and a joy. I look back on that time, again, just being able to walk out onto the court of Gross Memorial Coliseum. It still brought goosebumps to me every day.
Yeah, and then you mentioned kind of building the program back up in the RMAC for the most part then, and that was a challenging conference, and you broke through. You had made it to the NCAA tournament. I remember a very cold time up in the Grand Forks, North Dakota, and unfortunately you had to play one of the premier programs in the history of women's Division II basketball in North Dakota on their home floor. But what a great experience. It was a stereotypical North Dakota weather type event, but a great experience to get back to an NCAA, get to the first NCAA tournament, get back to a national tournament, and just really a great team that was a lot of fun that really battled throughout that entire season.
Yeah, and it was that same sisterhood and same closeness. You know, it was just a lot of Western Kansas, for the most part, players that we were fortunate to assemble, and it was a fun run. And again, I look back upon those times. Anytime I had the opportunity to be a part of experiencing a national tournament as a head coach was really being a part of being along for the ride of seeing those players enjoy playing their game at their highest level. And I was fortunate to be able to do that at each of the three institutions of which I coached at.
Annette, we've really enjoyed it. Anything we didn't touch on that you wanted to say?
Well, I just, again, I look back upon a 25-year coaching career. And again, as the opportunities continue to arise, I'm fortunate to be in a professional life, helping young people and being around sport every day. And it's just a thrill for me now as a district athletic director at Topeka Public Schools and a director of Hummer Sports Park, I get to celebrate game days every day. And I think for me, I just want to dedicate my life to service and encouraging young people to get out and be a part of participating, whether it's on club teams, whether it's on junior high school teams, whether it's on rec teams, just getting young people out and being a part of sport, because sport has given me so much. And, I think it's just a part of repaying the favor that was given to me, and I was certainly fortunate for all of the favors that Fort Hays was able to provide me and my family.
Well, we've enjoyed catching up with you and kind of reliving some moments. And for me personally, I feel we both have probably come a long way since I was a student and you were a student, I believe. Well, you had to be at doing an interview in the old KFHS studios for a TV program a long, long time ago. I think we both have probably advanced from that level.
I do recall it, and the humorous part of it is I had to ask directions of where it was even located on the campus after I had been there for so long.
Well, I had to do that about the library. Where's the library on campus after being there for a long time? So we probably had a little bit different academic path. But Annette, we've appreciated the visit. So good to talk to you again.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all of your support and excitement and all of your voice of the radio and just being the voice of the Tigers. So thank you for all you do.
That is Annette Wiles, two-time NAIA All-American, member of the Fort Hays State and Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Sports Hall of Fames, our latest guest on the Defend the Fort podcast.